Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Tarsus Products Limited, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Saksham Mongia from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I welcome you all to the Q3 FY24 earnings call for Tarsus Products. From the management, today we have Mr. Rohan Sehgal, Full-Time Director, and Mr. Santosh Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer. I will now hand over the call to the management team for the opening remarks, post which we can start the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Rohan.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you on the Q3 and 9 months FY24 earnings conference call for Tarsus Products Limited. Along with me today, I am joined by Mr. Santosh Agarwal, Chief Financial Officer and Compliance Officer for Tarsus Products Limited and SGA Investor Relations Advisors. We have uploaded our quarterly investor presentation on the stock exchanges and company's website. I hope all of you had an opportunity to go through the same. Allow me to offer an overview of the current trends in the life science industry. While it has been experiencing a sluggish trajectory in the plastic labware markets, there are indications that the worst may be behind us. However, we are closely monitoring the industry and implementing necessary strategic initiatives to counteract this slowdown effectively. Looking ahead, we anticipate a gradual improvement, particularly within the pharma research and diagnostic segments. Despite temporary slowdown across the industry, there remains a prevailing sense of optimism for advancements and growth within the industry. Speaking about our acquisition, we successfully acquired Nerve, a Hamburg-based distributor specializing in plastic lab products. We believe that this strategic move can increase our presence in the overseas market, especially in the European region, which aligns perfectly with our market share expansion strategy in the global market. Nerve presents favorable opportunities for expanding our footprint in Europe, both geographically as well as in terms of product reach. We are optimistic about the long-term growth opportunities in these markets for our product line. The acquisition provides us a gateway in terms of reach to the micro markets in that geography and also with the product portfolio addition and leveraging the overlap in our existing products. This is particularly reassuring as we possess a deep understanding and expertise in manufacturing these products effectively. We believe in the longer term that we will be able to leverage on Nerve's distribution strength to penetrate across these markets with a large product portfolio of high-quality Tarsus products, thus enhancing our overall revenue growth. Speaking on the quarterly performance, in this quarter, we reported a revenue of rupees 62 crores, marking a 1% year-on-year growth. Our domestic revenue showed a robust increase of 14% compared to the same quarter last year, driven by growing demand in the domestic market. However, our exports experienced a decline year-on-year, primarily due to subdued demand in key global plastic labware markets resulting from the slowdown in the life science industry as well as global recessionary trends. Additionally, the ongoing crisis of the Red Sea added to our export challenges, particularly impacting operations during the end of December. Nevertheless, we perceive these challenges as temporary hurdles and see exports as a big growth lever from our company. With the addition of Nerve and our manufacturing expertise, we are strategically positioned to excel in this market. Speaking on the EBITDA front, in quarter 3 FY24, our EBITDA stood at 23 crores, a decline of 14% year-over-year. This decline was primarily driven by reduced export revenues from our key overseas markets and changes in the product mix. Moreover, our margins were impacted by initial costs linked to our upcoming facilities in Panchla, which is expected to contribute to revenues in FY25. Looking forward, we foresee leveraging our operational capabilities to enhance margins as the industry landscape improves. We remain committed to optimizing efficiencies and adapting to market dynamics to achieve sustainable growth and profitability in the future. Let me give you an update on our upcoming CapEx. First, on Panchla. In Panchla, we are introducing cell culture and also expanding capacities for our existing product lines. As mentioned earlier, the civil construction of the site is completed and the clean rooms are ready. While we are still awaiting the arrival of some machines which are currently in transit, the initial production is projected to commence in Q4 FY24. Additionally, the phased commercial production of cell culture and other products is anticipated to start in Q3 FY25. In our Amta plant, as we have informed earlier, we've signed an MOU with the Board of Radiation and Isotope Technology, BRIT. The strategic step is intended to diminish our reliance on a single vendor in West Bengal, diversifying our supply chain. Furthermore, construction is progressing for our central warehouse operations aimed at streamlining our inventory management and operational processes to enhance efficiency. Before passing the call to Santosh, I want to acknowledge that the industry may seem subdued today due to various external factors beyond our control. However, we maintain our confidence in upholding excellence. We eagerly anticipate the opportunities and challenges ahead as Starsense enters a new phase of growth and expansion. The acquisition of Nirbhay marks a significant milestone in our journey, unlocking fresh avenues for growth and reaffirming our dedication to grow in the global plastic lampware market. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Santosh Agarwal for his comments on the financial findings.
Good afternoon and a very warm welcome to our Q3 FY24 earnings call. On the revenue front, revenue from operation for Q3 FY24 stood at 62 crore as compared to 61 crore in Q3 FY23, a growth of 1%. Revenue from operation for 9 months FY24 stood at 191 crore as compared to 201 crore in 9 months FY23, down by 5% YOY. For Q3 FY24, revenue from export stood at 15 crore and domestic at 46 crore. For 9 months FY24, revenue from export stood at 55 crore and domestic at 135 crore. For 9 months FY24, export sales contributed around 29% and domestic sales contributed around 71%. At a gross profit level, our gross profit for Q3 FY24 stood at 45 crore as compared to 48 crore in Q3 FY23 due to change in product mix. Our gross profit for 9 months FY24 stood at 142 crore as compared to 147 crore in 9 months FY23. At a EBITDA level, our EBITDA for Q3 FY24 stood at 23 crore as against 27 crore in Q3 FY23. Majorly on account of lower revenue from export and increase in initial cost related to our upcoming facilities. Our adjusted EBITDA for 9 month FY24 stood at 72 crore as against 91 crore in 9 month FY23. EBITDA adjusted for 2.8 crore in 9 month FY24 for one-off expenses on account of due diligence for a potential acquisition. Our EBITDA margin for Q3 FY24 stood at 37% and adjusted EBITDA margin for 9 month FY24 stood at 38%. Regarding PAT for Q3 FY24 was 10 crore with PAT margin of 16%. Profit after tax for 9 month FY24 was 33 crore with PAT margin of 17%. I would like to highlight that despite the challenging environment, we have been able to maintain a healthy cash flow for our company with cash generated from operations standing at 83 crore for 9 month FY24, representing our ability to strengthening our working capital cycles. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Tanmay Gandhi from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So firstly, on the recovery, you said that you are seeing some initial, green shoots in the in terms of recovery, right? So can you give some color that whether you are seeing some uptick in your order book or are your customers guiding for a better, let's say, FY25?
So I think the order book is stronger, specifically in the domestic market. The order book is stronger than the previous years. It's still not as strong as FY22, but it's definitely stronger than FY23. The market still is subdued, but with the expanded product line, with newer products which we have been able to launch from our existing facilities and our leading brand position in India, we've been able to extract the best out of the business here domestically and been able to counteract all the numerous challenges and been able to grow from last year to this year. And we assume better growth in the coming quarters as well. Internationally, the environment is quite challenging. Each geography is posing its different set of challenges. North America having its own challenges, Europe having its own challenges. And Tarsus also being primarily a smaller brand in these markets and a large OEM supplier mainly. So it's difficult for us to counteract global challenges, and we are at par internationally with how the industry is moving. I believe that domestically we've been able to outperform the industry.
Okay, and specifically for exports, the global companies are pointing out, they are anticipating recovery in first half itself, right? So are you seeing some improvement over there as well?
So there is a gradual recovery, but with every gradual recovery, there is always a setback, which we've been seeing over the last 10 to 12 months. Sometimes the Russian gas crisis comes and Europe is in problem. Then now the Red Sea crisis has come. U.S. inflation is out of control. So the situation globally is specifically for our industry has not been the most stable situation over the last 18 to 24 months. There has always been one crisis overlapping and then another crisis coming up. So industry demand is one thing, and then the crisis surrounding it is another thing in particular countries. But yes, overall, the global plastic labware market is in a better position than where it was 12 months ago. But still, to reach its peak, I still feel that we are a few quarters away from reaching its peak and getting back to where it should be.
Okay, so while I understand that, the peak could be slightly away, but do you expect sequential recovery from here on?
Yes, we definitely expect, we've already started seeing sequential recovery in the domestic market. You will, moving forward, you will see
better quarter. Sorry, I'm talking about export.
In export markets, for me to give you a clear answer, because our business is spread across 40-odd countries. So for everything, I cannot give you a very clear answer of how the situation would look like in the next 5 to 6 months. There are a lot of external factors. Being a local company in India, manufacturing in India, able to tide over most of the problems which the Indian market faces. But sitting in India and exporting to 40, 45 countries, it's very difficult to be able to give you a clear answer whether we'll be able to overcome all the problems what the international market would pose, as a challenge to international companies over the next 5 to 6 months.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prathamesh Dahake from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi sir, I'm audible.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hi. So my first question is regarding revenue.
for the current quarter, could you please give us revenue by product type for both export as well as domestic? And my second question is regarding gross margin. You've said that the GM has fallen on regards of product mix. So could you please give us more color as to which product contributed to the lesser gross margins and what gross margins do we really make across our three broad categories: consumable, reusables, and others?
So we generally don't, due to competitive reasons, we don't disclose gross margins by product categories or by product types, neither do we disclose revenues. We give a broad understanding that about two-thirds of our revenues come from single-use products or consumables, and 95% of the remaining one-third comes from reusable products, and the very little small revenue comes from benchtop equipment. That's a broad guideline what we give on how our revenue is split up. But we don't really go deeper into the revenue mixes based on product categories due to competitive reasons. And yeah, gross margins have actually dropped primarily because the last few months have seen a the last few years and then have seen a sale of a lot of high value-added products, sterilized products, single-use products in PCR and filter tips and pipette tips and tubes and so on. But as the demand and for these products are low and there is a huge overstock, there's been a change in inventory mix, and then there's been a lot of new products which we have added from our existing portfolios. And when you add a new product and you try and push it into the market, you're always giving certain kind of promotional pricing to be able, for the customers to try those kind of products. So hence a change in the product revenue or the product mix, which led to a slightly lower gross margin.
Okay. So my next follow-up question will be regarding the CAPEX. You've mentioned AMTA is more like a fulfillment facility. So will it help us improve our margin somewhere?
It would probably help us streamline our inventories better. At this point of time, we are just about okay at a 285-300 crore company. But today, from our current infrastructure, we cannot anticipate that it would be virtually impossible for us to operate as at a 400-450 crore revenue. We do not have the infrastructure space to be able to dispatch, produce, store and dispatch such volume of goods. Because we are from a voluminous industry, and value of product is low and volume is high because products are cheap, lower in price as compared to other products from other industries. So our current company infrastructure probably allows us to reach about 320, 315, 20, 30 crores of business. If we have to generate annual businesses of in excess of 320, 25 crores, we do not have the infrastructure ready to conduct business. So I do not know how much of benefit it would give us in terms of margins, but it would definitely give us the infrastructure to conduct higher business. The radiation plant would give us certain benefits because we would move a significant portion of our radiation from outsourcing to in-house.
Okay, understood. Just one last thing. We see in this quarter a depreciation has increased. Is it due to the fact that we've capitalized some cost, and what is the incremental annual depreciation we are expecting when all these facilities are operational?
Sir, regarding depreciation, still Panchala factory is not fully come under put to use, so there is no depreciation has been charged on Panchala facility even though the construction is fully completed. But those capex which we completed in the existing plant, if it came into the put to use, that's why we charge the depreciation on those part. Regarding the upcoming depreciation, we will do the depreciation as per the put to use or ready to use status of all the plant machineries and construction.
So if you were to, let's say, if plant is running at fully built, how much depreciation annual are we expecting incremental? Panchala, Amta, se, dono, if we combine.
So, for example, whatever depreciation currently we expect about to, additional 20 to 25% extra depreciation in only every quarter.
Okay. And sir, are we consolidating Narbe's financials in this quarter?
Not this quarter, next quarter.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from the line of Jasdeep Walia from Clockvine Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. So thanks for taking my question. So first of all, in the call that you did on the acquisition, you didn't give CY23 numbers for the acquired company. So are those numbers ready now?
Well, sir, those numbers are available with us, but we will disclose those numbers only if it gets audited. So we got the numbers even at the time of acquisition also, but we refrain to give those numbers unless that is actually reviewed by the auditors.
Got it. So any subjective color you can give on those numbers, whether let's say CY23 are further lower down from CY22 or they are higher?
What we can say, sir, they are doing better in compared to the pre-COVID era. But if we compare with the COVID revenues, they are down, which we already disclosed in our last earning call also.
Got it. On the exports front, do you see any renewed pricing competition from Chinese companies?
So, China has always been a competitor pre-COVID, during COVID, post-COVID. But I think it all depends on what sort of incentives and benefits the Chinese government offers local producers. But in terms of exporting products and competing with them like for like, we are very confident that we have the economies of scale and the production efficiencies to be cheaper than at par quality Chinese companies manufacturing here in India as compared to them. And in terms of incentives to export, the duty and the tax structures in the United States and Europe for Chinese companies are higher as compared to us. So we don't see much of a challenge in terms of competitive advantage when we compare like for like Chinese companies. In India, there are very few companies. But in China, you have more than 100 companies manufacturing products similar to us in different levels of quality.
Got it. And has your export revenues in this quarter been impacted by the Red Sea issue? If yes, what do you think is the impact?
So yes, I think towards the third month, which was the last month of this quarter, we saw an impact because especially a lot of medium-sized and small-sized buyers from Europe have stopped their shipments or deferred their shipments. They have not cancelled their orders, but they have stopped or deferred their orders because the freight costs have again risen to COVID levels or higher. You know, there is about a 300% to 350% increase in freight costs. So the larger companies which cannot do without inventory and who have larger businesses still continue to buy because remember inventory is not in our, freight is not in our control. Freight is always paid by the buyer. So we could not bill a lot of shipments to Europe because of the Red Sea issue, not so much because of the Red Sea issue. The Red Sea issue has just increased the lead times or the shipment times, but more so because of the freight costs going up 3x.
Got it. Can you quantify the impact?
At this point, I do not have a number in front of me, but the impact is not so large. Even if those shipments had moved, you would have still seen a significant decline as you see in our exports from last quarter in FY23 to this quarter.
Got it. And final question on the export side, how do you view the inventory situation in the export market as of now, whether at your channel partner end or the client's end? Has the inventory normalized or there's still some, you know, time before it happens?
So the reorders have started, but they've started at a very small level. Since there is no organized platform to actually calculate the inventory situation, all we know is by speaking to people, meeting them at trade shows, me having one-on-one meetings and, you know, being in touch regularly through the quarter. That's the only way to assess the situation for us. But the reordering has started in a very small level. By reordering, I mean reordering for products which were heavily overstocked. So in some SKUs in those product categories, when the inventories have run out, the reordering has started. But as I said, the peak, the reaching optimum levels is still, a few quarters away, but the signs are good at this point of time. And if everything holds up well in the international markets, I think it looks like it looks like a very strong path of growth for companies like us in India, with China Plus One also coming, into effect and getting stronger with every quarter.
Got it. Final question is, on the diagnostic side in India, how do you see the business trends now versus last year? And on the competition front, have you been able to maintain your market share or increase your market share on the diagnostic side, or do you see much higher competition, hence lower margins in that domain?
So I think our market share in the diagnostic segment is pretty similar to what it used to be pre-COVID era. I think we are reaching back to those levels, and I think those are reasonable levels for us to assess as a company. The market share in the diagnostic segment went very, very high for us in the 2 years of COVID, and that is because, understandably so, because of the COVID testing, which most of the larger and prominent diagnostic companies undertook all over the country. But it would not be reasonable for us to estimate those market shares as sustainable market shares. I think looking at the pre-COVID market share in the diagnostic segment, we're very close to achieving those market shares now moving forward, and we are okay with that.
Got it. And how do you see competition in diagnostics versus what it was pre-COVID?
So competition overall is very, very strong in this segment, in the plastic labware segment. It was very strong pre-COVID era. It got stronger in the COVID era because there was more demand in the number of players which were there, which could supply. And at this point of time, it continues to remain strong. But considering the way the market is, considering the tight market conditions, the overstocking, the less businesses, I don't see that the same number of players would be able to sustain in the medium and long term. So we could see a few smaller and unstable players dropping off. That is what we predict over the next 12 to 24 months. And we expect over the next 1-2 years that the competition intensity should fall back to the pre-COVID levels.
Got it. But as of now, your gross margins in the diagnostic space are under pressure if you compare it versus pre-COVID levels.
No, as I said, we don't really give our margin based on segment basis. We've never given it. We've always given it on a company basis. Overall, as a company, we are very, very comfortable with the way we are conducting business in the domestic sector. And our aim is to grow our market just the way we grew our market over the last 15, 20 years in the domestic sector. So we see no challenges in the domestic sector, just looking upwards and onwards for now in the domestic sector. The main challenge lies in the overseas market to be able to overcome the external challenges. Internally, as a company, we are geared up to grow exponentially in the international business, but we need the external environments to be in line with that.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the question.
We can't hear you clearly, Mr. Rathi. Can you use your handset, please?
Yeah, I'm audible right now.
It's not very clear.
Hello. It should be better right now.
You can go ahead with your question. We'll let you know.
So I wanted to understand regarding our margins with new facility coming in. Do we see a pressure on margins for the next 1 or 2 years, or how do we see the margins going forward?
So it depends actually. I don't see much of a challenge in the gross margins, but we'll be coming up with a lot of new products. And most of these products that we are coming up with have similar margin structure to our current portfolio. Overall, I expect the margins to be in this region, you know, where we are today, and don't see much of a challenge, much of a pressure. There could be some challenges in the EBITDA level as we're looking to scale up with fixed costs getting absorbed slowly as we scale up. But on the gross margins, I don't see much of a change.
Okay, sir, your EBITDA level is around 37%.
Sorry, you're not very clear, Mr. Rathi.
Yeah, I mean, that's so is it better right now?
Yeah.
Okay, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I just wanted to understand the EBITDA margin, will it be in this 37% range or it will have some pressure going forward since the new facility is coming?
So we'll have to wait and watch as to what sort of additional costs come in, you know, as the facilities begin to scale up. But I don't see much pressure beyond this level because I think costs are quite high at this point in the company, while revenues have remained stable now almost for a good part of 2 years. So I don't see, you know, if we've been able to sustain these EBITDA levels without growing revenues for almost 2 years and growing costs, you know, sequentially, the way we've grown historically, I think we shouldn't see EBITDA levels lower than this.
Okay. And what kind of capacity utilization do we see for the Panchala as well as the Amta facility by 2025?
We expect to scale up gradually and reach optimum capacity utilizations of about 80-85% in 4-5 years of starting up operations.
Okay. And sir, just final question, could you provide some guidance on the top line and bottom line for FY 2025?
We are not providing any guidance at this point of time. For any number guidance, we are not providing, but the industry is looking up, so we should keep improving year-over-year.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Harsh from Marcellus. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just one question. Can you provide some commentary on some of the newer products that we had launched earlier? For example, serological pipettes, PCR, as well as the PETG bottles.
So, we have good movement in most of the product lines. I think with the exception of PCR, because PCR was, as I informed earlier as well, is a direct COVID-related product and is globally overstocked all over the world, including India, and has very little and limited demand at this point of time. But apart from that, the other product lines are product lines which are import substitutes, and we've been seeing good traction for the same, both in India as well as overseas.
So can you give some color on what sort of a number are we looking at maybe in the next few quarters?
No, we're not giving any guidance on the revenue numbers for these product groups. But in India, we continue to the growth in India is faster for these product lines. And internationally, as we tap into more and more OEMs, I think there could be lumpy growth where because OEMs are larger businesses, so the more OEMs we crack, you know, there could be certain stable quarters, and suddenly there could be sharp in you know inclines in the revenue as we crack more and more OEMs. So the whole focus is on the PETG bottle and the serological pipette, because that possesses an immediate opportunity as the market is open to these product lines. But PCR doesn't look too good for now. The opportunity should open up in the next few quarters, but for now, no.
Okay. Okay, thank you. This helps.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for taking the question. Firstly, with respect to the incremental CapEx that would be incurred if for both the Panchala and Amta facility, what would be that, if required?
So the incremental CapEx, as we already disclosed, we are running with a CapEx of 550-575 crore rupees. Out of that, we already incurred about 450 crore rupees, and remaining will be incurred in next 12 months.
So approximately 100 to 50 crores would be balanced over the next 2-3 quarters. That would be the correct understanding.
By next 4 quarters.
So basically, with most of the equipment suppliers, there's a amount, you know, depending 15%, 20%, at best 25%. So that amount is paid on delivery. So that last portion of on delivery, because most of the capex is nearing its end term. So on delivery, whatever amount is to be paid, that is left.
Understood, understood. And so the question was with related to debt. So what was the debt on the books as of December? And since most of the growth capex, as we have said, is done and we will be good for at least the next 3-4 years, then how are we looking to reduce the debt over the near term?
So currently the approximate net debt on the company is about to be 230 crore rupees, and we don't see that this debt will go beyond 270 or 280 crore rupees in future. And our plan is to repay this all debt by our cash accruals, and we also acquired another entity, and the cash accrual will also generated from that entity also. So we are hopeful that we are able to repay all these loans on time. And we have scheduled all the loans with 3-year to 5-year kind of EMI, and things are going really well out of our cash flow operations.
Okay. So, but are we looking to make any prepayments, like for example, any bullet payments in the near term, so that we reduce the debt and maybe scale up accordingly?
Not in the near term. Near term means not in next 12 months, but after 12 months, if sales increase further and our cash profit will increase further, then we will definitely go for bullet payment.
Understood. And just to understand, clarify, the cash flow from operations that you had said was 83 crores. Did I get that right? For the quarter, this was for 9 months?
9 months.
That was for 9 months. So approximately we can say 27, 28 odd crores would be the quarterly run rate. Would that be sustainable? Or is it based on orders and...
We cannot comment about the sustainability, but last year, if you see our numbers, we have generated 100 crore of, approximately 100 crore of cash flow operation, and after tax it was about to be 75 crore rupees, and every year we generate 70 to 80 crore rupees comfortably, and this year also sales is not down too much, and we are hopeful that sales will increase further in the next year. So we are confident that we are able to maintain this kind of, you know, cash flow operation.
And finally, a broader question with respect to the product profile that we have. So 2/3 of the revenue comes from single use and the balance comes from reusable. Both from a domestic and a export perspective, what do you see the challenges in either of these categories, and where the larger opportunity lies? Does it lie in the single use or does it lie in the reusable? And is there any one particular category outperforming the other, both in the domestic and the international market?
So the single use, as the name says, is the larger opportunity, because products are used and disposed of and then used again rather than used again and again, which means more ordering and which means more recurring orders for us. And globally, including India, I think the single use possesses the biggest opportunity for us as a company.
Understood. So would that also have a materially higher margin, or is it kind of similar?
No, it would be similar or lower because it's single use, right? Anything which is disposable will always be cheaper than anything which is reusable, because there's bigger volume.
Understood. That's it. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you.
We have a next question from the line of Anubhav Sahu from Macro Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thanks. Couple of questions. Are you coming back to channel inventory situation? Normally, we see that during geopolitical conflicts, companies try to conserve or retain inventory. So given longer lead time now due to Red Sea crisis, is there any talks around the clients with respect to restocking, so far?
No, there's no talks as such. Of course, there are concerns with the Red Sea, and as I mentioned in my answers before that, you know, the larger players which can absorb the costs continue business as normal. But the medium and the smaller players, which are critical to every bit of cost, and rightfully so because they're smaller businesses, are wary about these increased costs because that adds to the landed cost of their product and their final selling price. So they're playing the wait and watch to see if freight rates stabilize in the near term because 3x, 4x increase in freight rates overnight is too much for them to absorb.
Right. Just to give the estimate of the landed cost, in terms of percentage, what could be the difference for a typical customer? Because the kind of freight rates which have increased, you mentioned around 300%. But
yeah.
In terms of compared to the cost at the product case, what percentage would that freight cost?
Well, there's two intricate details, right, of our business and how it functions. I can't really discuss that over an earnings call of how and what margin and what rate differential. That can't be actually discussed. These things are critical, you know, to how we perform in the international market and how we deal with our international clients. Information is quite sensitive.
Okay. And secondly, for the cell culture focused labware, you mentioned that Q3 for fiscal year 25 is when probably will be having commercial production, right? Or will that be a time for validation batches?
See, validation is already happening as we speak. So the products are in our hand, but this is not commercial production. So 70% of the cell culture products which we are supposed to launch is already produced and where validation is going on. At this point, it's not quality validation, but it's production validation which is going on. So validation has been going on for the last 3-4 months and continues to happen as we speak. So we expect commercial production by then, you know, production which we are selling to customers and billing them for that.
Okay. So we hope that by Q3 we will have all the approvals by then.
That's what we expect because you see all the equipment which comes from cell culture or from any of our CapEx is so expensive and so business and so heavy that they all have to come by sea. So even our capacity expansion equipment is now delayed by 45 days because of the Red Sea crisis, because generally the importation period is about 28 days from Europe to India, which is now almost to 70-75 days from 28 days because of the Red Sea. So just because of the Red Sea crisis, we can't import everything by air because if we start importing everything by air, that's an additional impact of more than €500,000 just in air freight costs, which we can't do at this point of time. So if everything remains stable, I cannot predict how the sea movement would be 9 months down the line. If everything remains stable, yeah, Q3 is absolutely on target for commercial production.
And I guess these equipments would be more material from the commercial production point of view. And for the...
Absolutely. And just to add, all our CapEx, 75% comes from Europe and the remainder, 25%, comes from the rest of the world, which is North America and Asia. So we are very reliant on the movement from Europe to India for CapEx.
Understood. Hope for the best. Thanks for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Prathamesh Dahake from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead. Mr. Prathamesh Dahake, I have unmuted your line. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, so my question is regarding the international business. Could you please provide us some color as to what type of products are we expecting to experience an increased growth rate in the coming days and across which geographies and what kind of business that would be, branded or ODM? So a couple of lines on that would be really helpful.
Sure. So our focus area is North America, which is our number one focus area, along with Europe and certain key geographies in Asia. So this is where we continue focusing on. And I would say our additional markets or the markets where we don't particularly focus, but we also generate some revenue is Middle East, Africa, and Latin America. So this would be our primary markets, and that would be our secondary markets. And the focus would be on our existing portfolio and the new products as we add. New products take more time because people don't, there's no history of you selling those products. So people would need to test, try, and we would have to wait for opportunities wherever there's availability in any of the portfolio. So, of course, for the volumes, our focus would be ODM, and for the regular business, our focus would be our brand. So we continue to focus on our brand in all geographies outside Europe and North America. That is Asia, Middle East, Africa, Latin America. These are the areas where we continue to focus on our brand. And in Europe and North America, we focus on ODM. So.
Which type of customers are we targeting? I mean, across, let's say, the developed markets versus the rest of the world, which customers are expected to drive our revenues?
It's basically wholesalers and importers and distributors because we don't work at the customer level internationally like how we work in India. So I can't tell you pharma, biotech, CROs, diagnostics. I can't really give you a breakdown like that.
But within branded also, wouldn't you be able to tell it because.
Because we don't have sales teams, right, in those countries like how we have in India. In India, we sell directly to the distributor, but we are in direct contact with the customer, and we know exactly where our revenue is coming from.
Okay. And within, let's say, if you were to take down a level deeper, will it be consumable, reusable? I mean, something more color as to which business is going to be in traction in international, if you could please tell us.
See, our focus always is on the consumable business because that leads to greater volumes. But historically, we've been very, very strong in the reusable business overseas, and we are looking to dig deeper in the consumables business, and we should see a lot of traction in the consumables business over the next few years in international market.
Okay. And consumables would be mostly single-use products, right?
Yeah, as the name suggests. Yeah, you consume. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Understood. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza Portfolio Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the follow-up. So with respect to the AMTA facility, the AMTA facility is more for with respect to business facilitation. So what I observed was that our inventory days have been rising. So with this facility coming up, do you see a material reduction in this number and thereby a ramp-up in the revenues? I think you alluded to the fact, but I would want a slight brief about how would that work.
So with the AMTA facility, the infrastructure is slated to become more robust and more strong, and it's giving us an opportunity to scale up as a company. The revenues definitely would go up. In terms of inventory days is not so much dependent on AMTA. It is more dependent on the success of our projects because with new projects, we need to invest in a certain amount of inventory because we don't have any historical sales data for those projects. And once those projects start streamlining domestically and internationally, and we are in a better position to know what to stock and how to stock when, the inventory level should see certain rationalization.
Understood. So could you tell what are the number of new products that we have launched during the year and the quarter, and what are we planning for the next year or so, if that could be said?
So we've launched a certain cell culture bottles called PETG and PET bottles. We've launched serological pipettes. PCR was not launched this year. It was launched last year. And now we are coming up with certain cell culture flasks, which we are launching in this quarter. So these are all cell culture products, but not the cell culture treatment products which we are launching in Pashla. These are all the prequel products to the cell culture treated products which we'll be launching in Pashla. All these products will eventually be also produced in Pashla, but these are not the main cell culture treated products which we are looking at in Pashla.
Understand. So maybe three. So these are three or four categories that we launched during the three or four categories in the cell culture would be added over the next one and a half year. That would be a correct understanding.
I would say about 12 categories. So if we launch three, four this year, over the next year, we should be about seven to eight categories. This also includes certain capacity expansions of existing product lines, but the capacity expansions are also considered as a product category, then about seven to eight new variants coming in next year.
Understood. So 7 to 8 would not be restricted to cell culture, it would be across the board?
Across the board, across the company, absolutely.
Understood. And finally, with respect to the acquisition, so the Nerva acquisition that we have done, would there be any gestation period with respect to it, coming to full speed, and or we can, plug and play and utilize it, immediately? Would it hit the ground running for us, or it would take some period to gestate?
See, the thing is, it depends on us. We prefer a gestation period because we would want it to run the way it's running. We have, our own operational tasks to be performed here in the company. We are at the midst of launching the largest facility which we've ever launched in the history of the company, and this facility should be bigger than all the facilities put together. So we would take Nerva slow and let their operation, because their operations are smooth. It's not a company which you're looking to turn around in a very big way. It's not a company which was not performing well or which was performing below par, which needs a certain degree of turnaround or thing, something like that. So it performs status quo and let it move the way it is, and we keep picking on opportunities where Tarsus can add value. And we will keep doing that over, the next multiple quarters, maybe 8 to 10 quarters.
8 to 10 quarters would be the time frame that we'd be looking to ramp this up over.
We try to push things to our favor. The reasons for which we have acquired Nerva, we'll try to fulfill those reasons periodically, step by step over these quarters, I would say.
Okay. So, understood. That kind of answers the question. Then effectively, that would mean we would not look at any other new acquisition per se? Well, that is what I would understand then, because if you're saying it is going to take 8 to 10 quarters to stabilize and ramp up this one, adding on something new might be counterproductive.
See, at this point of time, what we have to see is the bandwidth as well, as a company, right? We are just a 300 crore size in company in size. This is our first acquisition in the history of Tarsus. We never acquired a company before. So I don't think it would make a lot of sense for us to acquire a second company unless we've been able to prove it to ourselves as a management and board, that we've been successful in handling an acquisition to a certain degree of success. So that degree of success doesn't have to be 100%, but if we are able to demonstrate that we can manage an overseas acquisition well, only then we would look at other geographies for acquisition.
Understood. Understood. And just finally, the current margins are approximately near the 34%-35% region. What do you see with respect to them moving upwards as all of the facilities and the new products come up? Could we see close to 40% margin or higher over the next two or three years?
See, the thing is, today where we stand as a company, we stand as a company which is very high on costs and very high on development. And when we did the IPO, when we came into the public markets and when the public investors had a look at our accounts, we were at the peak of our utilization, with the very little investments and peak utilization rates. So you've got a range of where the lowest can be and where the highest can be. And, from here onwards, if our new projects, click exactly the way our old projects have clicked in the history of the company, it should just keep getting better and better.
Got it. Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. We will keep updating the investor community on a regular basis for incremental updates on your company. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with us or SGA, our investor relation advisors. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.